Well, good morning, church. Morning, live stream. Good to have you here, whether you're in the house or you're watching virtually. Good to have you all here. Everybody say good morning. Officially, there you go. All right. You can see, we're going to get into the message this morning. You can see our title is A Hard-Fought Peace, Part 2. So I started this, it's going to be a series, a spoiler alert, going to be a series. And I started 2 weeks ago, and I said that the motivation, if you will, for the message came about as a result of a quote I read in a book by Erwin McManus, and he said that peace does not come to the passive. You all remember that? Who remembers I said that 2 weeks ago? It was just 2 weeks ago. Like six people remember it. Okay, great. Then this is all new information for you. Good. That message is available on our website. You can go check it out there. I encourage you to wrestle with the Word of God and apply it to your life. But he said, peace does not come to the passive. And the point we were making was that we don't know how to have peace. How many of you want peace in your life? How many of you struggle to have peace in your life, you know? And the result of that, I think, is because we misinterpret. We think that peace is the result of white space on the calendar or a completed to-do list or getting past an event or date on the calendar, right? When I just get past Memorial Day, when I just get past the holiday, when I just get past school's out, and on and on goes. And of course, that's the lie because it never ends. There's always something else. And so peace is not the result of those things, but peace is a state of existence. It is something that we walk in, not a destination that we arrive at. And how do we get there? How do we walk in peace? It is based upon our mindset. The scriptures tell us that how we order our thoughts is what will result in peace. And that's the exercise, that's the discipline. And we understand that, there are things that we wrestle with, there are things that are trying to take away and steal our peace, cause us to give it away by what we think about. Depression is often rooted in regret or shame loss and hurt from our past. Anxiety is often worry about an unforeseen, uncontrollable future. What is faith? Faith is confidence in an unforeseen, uncontrollable future. Faith is confidence in the one who does control it all, recognizing that we can't control it all. And what does the scripture call us to do? To walk by what? Faith, right? The scriptures do not say walk by anxiety. Scriptures do not say walk by depression, walk by regret. It says walk in faith, confidence in the unforeseen, uncontrollable future, knowing that the one who has ordered all things has a plan for your life. And so we walk by faith, and that's why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, listen, your fight, your struggle is against the literal and spiritual forces of darkness, the devil and all his minions who are trying to disrupt, deceive, and steal your peace and your freedom. It says, and so when you go into battle against the enemy, he says, put your shoes on before you go into battle. Put your shoes on. Well, what shoes do we put on? He says, put on the shoes of the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ, by virtue of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, has redeemed our past and secured our future. And in between those two places is his grace, which is more than enough for us. And so Paul says, if you have that, then what is there left to worry about? And the answer is nothing really that should have mastery over us. Because to say that, well, we're never going to struggle with anything, well, that's not human experience. We're going to wrestle with things, but we wrestle and overcome them. We don't allow those things to have mastery over us. And so peace is, we obtain peace by what we give our mind to. What we allow and how we direct our thoughts first, because out of the mouth is from what the mind speaks, and the mind speaks what is from the heart. So where's your treasure? What are you storing up in here that is going to cause you how you think? What you believe is how what you think. What you think is what you say. What you say is what you do. So how are you ordering your thoughts? And that's why Paul says in Philippians 4 that to think on what is true, think on what is honorable, think on what is right, what is pure, what is lovely. Think on things that have a good reputation. He says, now this is a conditional statement. He says, if you do those things, if you order your minds that way, then you will have the peace that surpasses all human understanding, and that peace will act as a guard, a shield for your thoughts and your emotions. It will give you rule and mastery over your thoughts and feelings. If you order your thoughts that way, he says, practice these things. Everybody say practice. Practice. What does practice mean? Come on, anybody who's done any kind of sports, what does practice mean? Do it over and over and over and over again. Not, well, I did it once, so that's it. No, you practice it. You intentionally give yourself to that discipline over and over and over again. When I played drums, Gabe, back in the day, right? I used to have a quote that hung. We had a cage here, you know. It was the fish tank, the cage, you know. But I had a quote in there. It said, "The goal of practice is not getting it right. The goal of practice is that you can't get it wrong." That was my approach. You're going to practice it so much that I can't get it wrong. Okay, that's what practice. Paul says, "Practice these things." And then the God of peace will be with you. So that was our message 2 weeks ago. And I believe that we left that service encouraged and challenged on how we were going to organize and think about things in a good way. How many of you did that without fail for the last 2 weeks? Of course you did. You're a veteran. You know this stuff. You figured it out, the secret. Anybody else here? Ever wrestle in the last 2 weeks wrestle with insecurity or anxiety or worry or anger or any of those things? Look at all the hands going up. Yeah, sure, right. Why? Because there is always going to be something, a force at work in our lives that is trying to pull us back into the old ways. Always. Peace does not come to the passive. We're going to read our central verse for today. We're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Can we read it nice and loud together? This is why we read the scriptures, because we're accessing all the senses. We hear it, we see it, we speak it. The more senses we activate, the more likely it is to move past our ears down into our heart. So let's read Galatians 5, verse 1. Paul says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5, 1. Certainly, all of God's word is inspired and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. But Galatians 5:1, I believe, is scripture we should all have memorized. This should be in your back pocket, right? Because whenever these thoughts come that want to pull you back in, you go, devil. It was for freedom that Christ set me free. I will not be pulled back into the old ways, God's word says. And because the devil has to listen to God's word. He doesn't have to listen to your opinion or to your whining. He has to listen to God's word. So know it. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul is addressing a larger issue here. And I want to explain that for context before we get into the rest of the message today. In Galatians 5, Paul is defending the gospel of Jesus, the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus, that salvation is the result of what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross, that we receive salvation as a result of his atonement for our sin, and we receive that by virtue of his love, which he gave, and his grace that he freely gave us, and we receive that by faith. That's how we are saved. That's the simplicity of the gospel. It's all about what Jesus has already done, not what we have to do. We good on that so far? Or did I lose you already? I know it's theology, crazy on a Sunday morning, but that's the gospel of Jesus. It's what Jesus has done on the cross. Paul says it is not about this tradition and ritual, because everywhere Paul went preaching the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, to Jews and to Gentiles, there would be this trail of religious leaders from Jerusalem who would follow him and say, yeah, Jesus is good, but it's Jesus and. Particularly to the Gentiles, non-Jews, they would say, yes, it's Jesus, but you must also be circumcised according to the tradition, according to the law of Moses. If you don't do that, you're not really saved. And everywhere Paul went, they followed him, and Paul had his biggest arguments and conflicts with those religious leaders who wanted to make the gospel about Jesus and. And Paul says, hey, no. And that's what got him in such conflict with the Jews that eventually they had him arrested and imprisoned and eventually executed by Rome. All because of that. And Paul's saying Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. He didn't come to abolish it. He came in fulfillment of it. He said because these traditions and rituals and sacrifice and all that, he goes, was the temporary covering of our sin that had to be renewed year after year after year. But Jesus Christ has fulfilled it, and so it is done once and for all. And so we don't have to go through all these things over and over again. Paul says, if you want to be circumcised, go for it. If you don't want to be circumcised, God's fine with it. God is not impressed one way or other whether you are circumcised or not if you are doing it according to some religious obligation. If he says, each person be led by the Holy Spirit in your own life. Okay, that's what he's talking about, and that's why he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Don't be subject to a yoke of slavery again. Don't get pulled back into, well, now that I have Jesus, I still have to go and do all these things. That's the point he's making in Galatians 5, okay? Paul says we have been set free, that Jesus Christ came and loosened the shackles. He took the handcuffs off of us that limited our ability to have a relationship with God the Father. We were handcuffed by tradition, by ritual, by all that stuff. Jesus came and broke those handcuffs off. He says, why in the world, with Jesus having done that, would you pick them up and put them back on again? Be free. Okay, that's the context for Galatians chapter 5. But verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, right? You all catch that word, therefore? Okay, so all that I just talked about, that's the therefore. What's it there for? Right. That's what I just said, okay? Jesus is not just the covering of sin, but the complete atonement and wiping away of it, done once and for all. But yet Galatians 5:1 also speaks then to this larger instruction and guiding principle that applies in many areas of our lives. And that is that there will always be a strong pull to return to what we know because it is comfortable and controllable. Raise your hand if you're a human being. Congratulations. By definition, you are a control freak. Human beings are control freaks. Every human being likes control. We like law. We like all these things. We like knowing where the boundaries are so that we can stay safe and comfortable and secure within those contexts. Walking by faith is hard because you are intentionally, knowingly walking into the unknown and the uncontrollable. For those that do, for those who walk by faith, you discover what God has promised, and that is true and ultimate freedom. Freedom in your mind, freedom in your heart, freedom in your spirit. And yet there are always going to be these forces at work that are trying to convince you or deceive you into giving up your peace and your freedom. The devil cannot steal anything from you. He can only convince you to give it to him of your own free will, to give it up. And that's why Paul says, therefore, keep standing firm. Dig your heels in. There are going to be times, Paul says, when the enemy is going to come at you. He never says that, well, the devil's just going to leave you alone for the rest of your life. No. It's going to be quite the opposite. He's going to ramp it up because he looks at you and he hates you because of who he sees and who you represent. Because when the devil looks at you, he doesn't see you as an individual. He sees the likeness of Jesus Christ. And he hates you. And he sees you for all that you are potential for and have in God. Just as your Heavenly Father sees you that way and doesn't see you as the sum of your mistakes, he sees you for what you have been created for in Christ Jesus. The devil sees you in the same way, and he hates you for it. And so he is going to be relentless in his assault, in his attacks, in his deception, in his whispering, in his conniving, in his scheming, all those things to get you to give up your peace and give up your freedom. And so Paul says, keep standing firm. Let him exert himself against your shield of faith, Your shield being the confidence in the unknown, uncontrollable, unforeseen future. Let the devil expend himself on it, and then you can go on the offensive. Let him exert himself, and then you move forward. Okay, that was our, part of our point from 2 weeks ago, is that the best defense is a good offense. If you keep the enemy on the run, he can't invade your space. Peace through strength. That was what we were talking about. So that was all that was, kind of what we covered 2 weeks ago. And then Galatians 5, keep standing firm, because we know that, yeah, we can make this progress, and then something happens, and we forget, and we give into it, and we give ourselves to worry and doubt and fear and all that stuff. And then the question kind of remains, if peace and freedom are ours by virtue of what Jesus has done, why then do we so often surrender that? Why do we give it up? And so I said 2 weeks ago that the message came about as a result of a quote I read from McManus. This message, really, the motivation came from a conversation that I overheard while we were away last week. I'm going to tell you what it is in just a minute, but I got to gotta set it up, of course. So Jenny and I and our daughter, we were away last week on a pastoral retreat, got a few days away. And first of all, I just want to say thank you to Seth and Alicia and everybody else who stepped up last week and led. And it's such a blessing to be able to go away knowing that the church is in good hands, that you're going to be led into the presence of God and receive a good word of God. Yeah, amen? You all did a great job? Yeah, so thanks, guys. Really appreciate that. And Jenny and I have taken on this custom, if you will, of going away for a week every year right around May. We call it a pastoral retreat. We'll go away and we'll spend some time in strategic planning and brainstorming and scheduling and vision casting for our personal lives and for the church. And we'll also invest in some quality family time, just really being intentional with each other and spending time together. And so that's where we were last week. We were away. And I said, 2 weeks ago, I said that peace is not the result of open space or white space on the calendar. I don't want anybody to misinterpret that I don't think we should have open white space. We should. You should. You should have white space on your calendar. You should not so jam-pack your stuff with things, because the majority of that is going to be stuff from other people's expectations. Be proactive in pursuing the calling and the vision that God has given for you, for your life, and that means creating space, creating boundaries for those things to happen, okay? So we put white space in, we put downtime in our calendars, and then we have to be intentional and ferocious in defending it. One way to not have anxiety for the future is to properly plan for it. And so that takes time, and that takes being free of distractions. So, we encourage you, families, okay, that you should have regular, battle plan meetings, okay, where strategic meetings where you talk and you plan out either the week, the month, the year, whatever, okay? So that's what we were doing. And so we would, spend the mornings in devotion time and talking and sharing ideas and writing stuff down. And then the afternoon we would take some time and go do some family stuff and excursions and outings and whatever. And on one of those excursions we ended up in this antique shop, just doing some treasure hunting, because one man's junk is another man's treasure, right? And so we're looking around for some things. And at the one place, as I was kind of done, and I overheard the ladies at the checkout counter talking. Now, this was not a private conversation. I could hear them in the next room. She was not being, secretive. I don't want anybody thinking I was eavesdropping or anything like that, okay? But this conversation, and it immediately grabbed my attention because of the seriousness of the conversation that she was sharing, and then what she said that really just hit a nerve and stuck with me. And so she was sharing about how this was very recent, that she was not feeling well, something was off. And so she went to the doctor and had some tests run, and she was waiting on the results. And she says, I was at home and the phone rang. I saw it was a doctor's office. She said, and before I picked up the phone, she said, I knew what it was. And anytime, I know many of you have been through this or know someone who's been through this, going through it right now. Anytime you get a diagnosis from a doctor or medical team that involves the word cancer, you have my sympathy, you have my prayers, that cancer is a curse. I absolutely believe that our God is a curse crusher and a curse redeemer. And yet I know, we know from firsthand experience, you know, when Jenny was in the hospital last fall with an obstruction, and the surgical team comes out and the doctor talks about cancer as a possible origin point, that when that happens, that life gets really real in a hurry. And I know how we processed, and I know that we went through that initial shock and disbelief that did give way to the peace that surpasses all human understanding. Trusting in the God who has said that he would do what he would do, and that he controls our lives and he would take care of us, no matter what. And thankfully, you know, we got a great report afterwards and cancer-free and all that stuff. So that's great. But I recognize that that's not always the case. And so I'm not judging or condemning this woman for what she said right after that. But when she said it, I immediately thought, that's a false and yet unfortunate and all too common viewpoint. Because what she said was, I would rather be sick in my ignorance than go through treatment and know the truth. She immediately said, because that's sick, isn't it? How many of us are living in denial of a truth? How many of us would rather stay sick physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever area it is, we would rather stay there than get help for it. You know, we sang Oceans this morning. And I had the thought as we were singing, how many of us would rather drown in pain and fear than walk on water? And why is that? Why is it that we would rather sit in our addiction, in our anxiety, in our grief, in our fear, in our depression, in whatever it is, rather do that than be free by the knowledge of the truth? Because the truth requires work. It takes effort. It's hard. It's hard work. It's easier to be ignorant, isn't it? That's why ignorance is bliss, so they say. Anybody else here experience being blissfully ignorant? As Jenny and I were talking about this message this past week, she said, oh, that reminds me of the message that was two Mother's Days ago, the Choose Your Heart. Jenny, at Mother's Day message 2 years ago, shared a poem or, you know, whatever. It says, choose your heart, right? Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Being healthy is hard. Being unhealthy is hard. Choose your heart. Being financially disciplined is hard. Being in debt is hard. Choose your heart. What is it that you are choosing to give yourself to? And to that, then, I would add these, that living in health is hard and living in sickness is hard. Living by faith is hard. Living in fear is hard. Living in freedom is hard. Living in slavery is hard. Choose your heart today. What are you choosing? And so the main point for today, the takeaway, if you will, freedom and peace are the result of intentional engagement with God, not the passive avoidance of reality. It was not easy for Jenny and I to be at peace with a possible cancer diagnosis, a potentially dangerous, even fatal surgery, and a 6 to 12 month recovery window. That was not easy. It was not easy for us, for her or for me, as they are loading me 3 years ago into a helicopter for a life flight to a surgical team as I'm having a heart attack. That was not easy. It was not easy for me 8 years ago to walk away from a 20-year career in a job that's very secure, with all the control that went with it, to walk into the unknown. It is not easy to get up every day and be master over my flesh that wants to be distracted, my mind that wants to be overwhelmed, or my heart that wants to wander. It is hard to follow Jesus wherever he goes, like the song just sings, you know, wherever you go, Lord. And yet we don't really want to sing that because, well, I'll follow you, Lord, to a point, but out there where I can't control things, maybe not. Being a disciple of Christ is not for the faint of heart. Being a disciple of Jesus is not for the passive. That's why I love Celebrate Recovery and why I love my brother Wes. I know he's out in the back there, but, you know, Wes shared his story this past week, his testimony with the next generation of the CR family. Why do I love? Because Wes's story is a story of a warrior who has overcome the cowardice of the flesh that wanted to stay sick in the throes of an addiction simply because it presented the illusion of control. His is a story of all those who have made the decision and the commitment to crucify the flesh and to follow Jesus wherever he goes. CR is not a room full of people feeling sorry for themselves, for their failures, but it is a celebration of people who are sick and tired of being sick and tired and have said, enough is enough. Jesus, whatever it takes, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. And as a result, I'm going to apply your word diligently to my life so that I can be free. Philippians 1:6. And I have absolute confidence that he who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. God has not gone through all of this stuff I'll come back to that. Let's read John 8:31-32. Look what Jesus said. Let's read it. If everybody said that word out loud. Yeah. If we had Haley and Dan's wedding yesterday, and part of the ceremony, a lot of weddings, I will say, I think one of the most powerful words in our language is the word if. Why? Because it represents our choice. Free will. We have a choice here to make. God said it here. You can have it if you choose it. Okay, let's read it. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, peace does not come to the passive. Peace comes to those who intentionally engage with the living God. He offers it, but we have to take him up on it. We have to engage with him. And that's Paul's point in Galatians chapter 5. He's saying religion cannot and will not set you free, bring you peace, or bring you freedom. Only a relationship with the living God is going to do that. If you feel stuck in your relationship with God, the vast majority of times, the reason is you stopped moving towards him. There is no standing still with him. And I think we misinterpret the truth that we cannot earn or merit our salvation by what we do, as now absolving us of any responsibility we have to engage with him, to be active with him. We just sit back and go, okay, God, I'm here. I said yes to you, so just lay it on me, and I'm not going to lift a finger between now and eternity. I mean, look at how Jesus engaged with people. Follow his example. Jesus never, ever got tired of meeting people in their hurt, in their suffering, in their need, in their grief, in their worry, whatever it was. He never grew tired of meeting them there. And he would show up and do what only he could do. And he would do something incredible and wonderful to get their attention. But look at what happens every time he does that. What immediately follows is, now go. Don't stay here. Don't stay stuck in it. Don't stay rooted in the past. Move on. Follow me. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And the moment you cry out to God, he is there. There is no place in the world that you can go that you can escape his presence. And the moment you call on him, he's going to be real. He's going to be right there. Absolutely. But look at the context of Scripture. James 4:6. Let's read it nice and loud together. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, wait a minute here. Draw near to God. Whose responsibility is that? It's ours. Everybody say it's mine. To draw near to him, to be active, to engage with him. And then he will draw near to you. How do we draw near to him? Let's read on. Read the rest of the verse. Let's read it. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. How do you draw near to God? By making the intentional, disciplined decision to crucify the flesh and its all its desires, and to be single-minded in how you think, how you order your thoughts, according to his word. See, you cannot be near to God and live in fear at the same time. Live in fear. Do we wrestle with fear? Of course we do. But we don't stay there. That's why the Psalms are so wonderful. And if you struggle, if you wrestle with things, read the Psalms. David wrote from, he wrote from his heart, he wrote from authenticity, he wrote from real, raw human emotion. And how many times the Psalms start out as the blues, singing, Dave's going, man, God, things are just awful here. My heart is overwhelmed, my enemies are all around me, I see injustice everywhere I go. When are you going to do something, God? Amen? But he does not stay there. The Psalms always end with praise. This is where I am, but thanks be to God. Yet I will, but I will. Because God is faithful to his word and he is in control. So be patient and wait on the Lord? Absolutely. Are there times where we have to wait because God is ordering things according to his steps and we have to wait on his timing, and oftentimes his timing is different than our timing? Yes. Be patient. Don't try to force things. We spent 3 weeks, you know, a flawed faith, right? Of people who are trying to make things happen on their own and the mess that has happened as a result of it. Be patient and wait on the Lord. But in our waiting, we are not to be passive. We are still engaging with God and still engaging with the enemy who wants to try and steal it from us. And so Paul says, in your waiting, armor up. Shields up, sword out, sword of the Spirit, sword of the Word of God. Use the Word to order your thoughts and to order your mind and order your words. Because that directs the course of your life. As you speak, that's the direction of your life is going. Well, that's hard, Cliff. Yep. Choose your hard. What are you choosing? You have been made for more. Let's read 2 Timothy 1. Verse 7, let's read it loud, and we're going to read it, make it personal, right? For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound judgment. 2 Timothy 1:7, another scripture that you should have that memorized, tucked in your back pocket, in the depths of your heart. When the enemy comes at you, devil, God has created me for more. He's created me to be the head and not the tail, to be above and not under. And God has given me a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. The ability to know right from wrong. The ability to choose love because God has loved me first. And power. Power being authority. The same authority that Jesus demonstrated, that he demonstrated over everything on the earth, including the spiritual force of darkness. Particularly the spiritual force of darkness. Jesus exercised his authority over them. He has dismantled and disarmed the devil, defeated him, made a public mockery of the devil by his death and resurrection. And then Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Now you go, because I'm giving you the same authority. Don't stay here. Go. Go in his name. And so the same authority that he had, you have. And God has not created you in his image and worked all of your life to bring you to this very moment, There was not one instance in which he has taken his hands off and said, well, you're on your own, kid. He has been working to accomplish and bring about his will and his plan and his purposes in your life all the way up to this very moment. And he has not done all that for you to lay down and quit just because things got hard. That line, I would rather be sick in my whatever, apply it to your situation, is a deception of the enemy. Because that's all he's got left against those who have said yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you have said yes to Jesus, you have received a new spirit. Not a spirit of cowardice or timidity, as that word can be translated. Not a spirit of slavery, as Paul says. But a new spirit. His Holy Spirit. And listen, I understand that some people won't get there. That some folks will choose to stay stuck. That they will choose their heart, that they will choose pain because of hurt they have caused or that they have received. That some folks will choose their heart and stay in a state of depression or anxiety or fear. That people will choose to stay in a broken marriage and not fight to make it better. That people will choose to stay in unforgiveness. People will choose to stay in jealousy or in anger or whatever it is. How do we walk in freedom? How do we break free of those chains? All the things that Christ came to set you free from, that we have picked up those shackles and said, no, I'm much more comfortable in these shackles. How do we do that? How do we resist being pulled into slavery again? You know, as a former defensive tactics instructor, I would tell my officers that I don't train victims, I train survivors. Train warriors. And that's what we're doing every Sunday here. Regardless of who's up on stage here, that's what we're doing. We're training warriors who overcome. So how do we do that? Okay, anytime there's something wrong, you know, I am certainly not an anti-doctor, anti-medication person, okay? Three times in my life, between Maya and Jenny, that, hey, a good medical team got us on the road to recovery and helped, you know, quite frankly, saved our lives, okay? Number one, you got to be honest about what's causing you pain. You got to be honest about it. You got to name it. You got to call it out. I don't believe in calling and giving, identifying it gives it power over you. You are acknowledging it, saying, this is what it is. It's unforgiveness. It's jealousy. It's shame. It's anger. Because when you know what it is specifically, now you can treat it specifically. You have to know what the threat is. Speaking these vague general terms, listen, the devil knows full well what it is. Who do you think it is that's doing it to you? Be specific. Okay, and what do we do? And that's why I say every Sunday morning, okay, we offer, Jenny and I said, we offer you free pastoral counseling every week for 45 minutes. To identify what's going on in your life that you need to apply God's word to it. Okay, it's a general discussion. We offer the going deeper questions. Okay, I don't know if you guys read them or not. I know some of you do, but I don't know how effective. But I'm encouraging you to use them because they move you beyond that was a good Sunday message, and now I'm going to go and stay stuck the rest of the week. No, use it. Use God's word. Apply it to your life. Go deeper. That's why they're going deeper questions, okay? Talk with the Lord. Let him go to work in your heart. Say, okay, Lord, here's what you've shown me. Now what are we going to do about it? Symbol of care team, hard truth, it is extremely rare that if you have something wrong with you that you're just going to get better all by yourself. Well, if I ignore it, it'll get better. Anybody ever try that? Jenny's looking at me like, heart rate 180 over, 180 over 110. Ah, it's fine. I'll be okay. Got this. Shaking her head. It's rare for you to get better on your own. That's why, you know, that's why we have ministries. That's why we offer things here like Celebrate Recovery, like Elevate on Wednesday nights, like our connection groups. Get people around you who are going to come alongside you, help you, support you, be there for you, offer care, offer guidance. James 5:16, Talk to somebody else so they can pray for you. Exponential power of prayer. Jesus said, well, if two of you are gathered together, agreeing in my name, it's going to be done. Don't try and fight your battles alone, right? First rule of a gunfight, bring all your friends who have guns. That's the number one rule, all right? Number one rule is make sure you bring your own gun to a gunfight. Number two is bring all your friends who have guns to a gunfight. All right. Number three, sometimes you need acute surgery and you need rehab. Sometimes there are issues that are specific that aren't going to be treated. And again, this is where, again, you have to name it, okay? Because you treat cancer differently than you treat a cold. It's a different approach. And so there is specific treatment for specific issues. And that's why we offer step studies at Celebrate Recovery. Step studies get you beyond the surface into the real nitty-gritty, the meat and potatoes. And that's where people, right, Seth, go. People go, I'm okay. I don't really want to. I'd rather stay sick. Because I don't want to confront that person, that guy, that girl in the mirror. I don't really want to look at that. So I'm just going to pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, step studies, grief share, conquer series. All these things are issue specific that address that specific thing. And do we wrestle with things? Absolutely. That's why Paul said, listen, Paul, right, wrestle. On the one hand, I do the thing I don't want to do, and the thing I want to do, I don't do. Who's going to send me? That's the struggle of life. But Paul said, but thanks be to God. The answer is not in finding myself, it's found in Jesus Christ. You know, and listen, anybody ever been through physical therapy or any kind of therapy? Fun times, right? You know, when I got sick and tired of having pain in my right foot and my ankle, and it was limiting my ability to play softball well, I needed the right motivation, and that was it, okay? When I got sick and tired of that, I went to the doctor, and started with my doctor. Here's what it is. Here, I'm going to refer you to a specialist. Go check it out. Specialist does all the imaging. Hey, you have a partial tear of your Achilles tendon. That's what's causing all this pain. Oh, okay. Surgery? No. We can start with treatment and see how that works. So I did 12 weeks. I shut down my softball season. Did 12 weeks of physical therapy. That was not good times. Okay. Especially that. Anybody ever had that metal comb thing they use to straighten out your tendons? No. Am I the only one who's had it? Physical therapy, working it, and then after he goes, oh yes, we're gonna give you a massage. I'm like, oh cool. He's like, oh no, you're not gonna enjoy this. Lay me on a table, and they bring out this metal comb. He says, oh, yeah. He says, because all your tendons are all knotted up. He says, so we're going to straighten them out. And he's, oh, wow. Woo. But we know, right, if you're doing it, that there is a difference between the pain, that there's something wrong, and a healing pain. Right, Rick? I mean, you're an authority on surgeries and recovery. Nancy, right? There's a difference. Which one would you rather have? Which one would you rather have? Healing pain. Absolutely. But then it doesn't end there, right? Once you've had the surgery and you do your doctor ordered therapy, does it end there? No, you got to keep doing it now, right? And that's the thing. This is where I think where some of us get stuck, because life is different. Well, I just want to go back to the way things were. Well, you can resume a lot of activities, but you're probably going to have to introduce some new disciplines to prevent a reoccurrence or a relapse to that injury. And so for me, I know, like, to this day, how many years later? I've never had to have surgery on my ankle. I know, I can tell when I haven't been doing the daily exercises of stretching and keeping it loose, because all of a sudden, you know, my calf and my back starts to hurt because things are getting tight again. And I know if I leave that untreated, it's going to come all the way down here, and then it's going to snap one day, and then we got big problems. So, do the little things. Do the daily things that will pay off over the long haul. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to an advantage. This is why it all comes, the basics, the very basics. Study the God's word for yourself. Don't just take our word for it, but apply it to yourself. I don't care if you've never picked up the scriptures before. Start somewhere. Start with Proverbs. Start with Mark. Start with John. Start with the basics. and apply it to your life and talk to the Lord about it. Say, okay, God, this is what I read. What are you talking to me about today? How am I applying this to my life? That's called prayer. You're just talking with God about it. And say, and not just, okay, God, we had our good time, and I'll put the Bible on the shelf, and I'll see you tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, whenever you do your devotion. But throughout the day, you are ordering your thoughts according to it. God, now, here's what we're chewing on this, and we're applying it. And lo and behold, hey, here's an opportunity to put into practice the very thing God just spoke to me, and so I can choose a different path that brings about a different result. And keep a journal. Write it down. Because we can remember stuff from long ago. We can remember obscure and insignificant trivia and facts, but we forget what God said to us this morning. So write it down, and writing it down becomes the vision, propels you forward. You keep it in front of you. This is what I'm moving towards, so I don't fall back into the old ways. That's what yields life transformation. Little things done over time that yield big results. Proverbs 18:1, let's read it nice and loud. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It starts here, and it goes to here, and then it comes out of your mouth. If you think it can't, you're right. How you think, how you order your mind, according to God's word, directs the outcome of your life. So this past week, music team, you guys want to come on up? We're getting ready to close our time here. I got home and get the mail delivered, and I got this flyer in the mail from some medical thing. I don't even know what it was. I didn't really pay attention to it. I guess that's a sign of getting older, right? Now I'm getting all the stuff from, here, you need medical stuff, you know? And it was some, you know, invitation to something. I don't even know who it was or what it was. You know, it didn't apply to me. But the tagline on the flyer stood out to me because that's what it said. It said, stop managing pain, start living again. How many of us living with just trying to manage our pain, our hurt, our addiction, whatever it is, time to be free. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Don't fall back in the old ways. It's time to start living. Because who the Son makes free is free indeed. Amen? Amen. Would you just close your eyes for a minute here? If you're ready to stop managing your pain and you're ready to be free, two things. Number one, it begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have never before asked him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, but you're making that decision today to trust him with your life. If you're making a decision, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand just so I can see you. If you're watching online, I see you there. If you're watching online, let us know in the chat box. Let us know. We'll agree with you. Today is a day Jesus Christ comes into your life, changed and transformed forever. Great. Second question is: are you ready to stop managing an area in your life where you've just been comfortable in it and you're ready to be free? If you're making that commitment this morning, to just put your hand up. Thank you, Lord. I see you all around the room. I see you. I'm going to invite everyone in the room to pray this with me out loud together. Would you pray this with me? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your love for me, for your plans for me. I surrender to you, Lord. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not going to control it anymore. I'm going to let you direct my life according to your word, which leads me into freedom. Thank you, Lord. It's not by my might, but by your spirit. A spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.